Education and Healthcare Reporting on SDPB is supported by Regional Health, helping patients and communities live well.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Attention, college admissions test takers. You've got less than a month to prepare for the upcoming ACT if you're taking it in April. And with all the news about wealthy parents breaking the rules to ensure acceptance to top colleges, you might be experiencing extra stress as you look into your future. Well, is the college admissions process inherently impossible and inhumane? Or can families approach the college search while keeping the whole student in mind? Erica Oppenheimer is an ACT and SAT test prep coach whose advice has been featured on the Huffington Post as well as here on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. She graduated from high school in South Dakota, but now she lives in New York City. Her book is called Acing It, A Mindful Guide to Maximum Results on Your College Admissions Test. And she joins us on the phone to talk about getting into college without destroying your soul. Erica, welcome back. Thanks for being here. So the full disclosure of this is that this book helped me as a parent sort of get through the college admissions process with my daughter. And, it's a great deep breath to take to say everything's going to be all right. And you can do this in a way that is not crazy. Tell us a little bit about the upcoming ACT test being in April. Is it too late at this point for people to really meaningfully prepare? When should you really start?
So, it sort of depends on where you're starting and where you want to go, right? It's sort of like asking me, is it too late to be able to run a 5K in 2 weeks? Well, that depends on where you're at and how quickly you want to run the 5K. It's never too late to do something for your prep. And so at this point, if someone's, and students have been prepping in a sense from, grade school, they've been learning math and speaking English, things that are tested on the exam. But in terms of things that they can do between now and the April test date, I mean, certainly everyone should try to get in at least one practice test so that they get a sense for what each of the sections are like, how they're formatted, what kinds of questions come up. And then if they can do a really thorough review of the questions that they get wrong, then that's an opportunity for them to learn things that for that upcoming test date. Now, that might not be as big of a uptick in results as that student is capable of. And so for that, they might need to invest more time. And for that, you've got the June 8th tests along the way. There's going to be another ACT in July. So the other thing that you can just keep in mind is that there's no limit to the number of times from the college's perspective, there's no limit to how many times you can take the test. So if you want to go into that first test, like doing what you can to prepare for it, but then knowing that you're really going to put in the time for a future test date, then that can take some of the pressure off so you can just experience what it's like to take the official test.
And that does cost a little bit of money, but it's not necessarily Absolutely. Prohibitive. It may be for some families, but I want to get at this this idea of, looking at really wealthy families taking the test, multiple times, hiring, individual tutors or out and out bribing somebody, which when I first heard that, I thought that has to be incredibly hard to figure out a way to, and there's so much that goes into test security there really had to be something broken in the system there. Does getting accepted into your preferred college have to be incredibly stressful and a really hard time for families?
So two things. One is that the story that has been in the news is very much the extreme and the exception and also illegal, which is why there have been indictments. So I think that the biggest way that that story can hurt average families is by thinking that that problem it spreads farther than it actually does. Most applicants really are students who are just trying to show up as their best selves within the college admissions process. And so given that, the way to stay sane is, first of all, just to believe in yourself and to know that you are a worthy applicant and to believe in your ability to work hard and put your attention on the tests and sort through the schools and do the self-reflection that's necessary to choose schools that you have a good shot at admissions at and that you'll ultimately be a good fit with. And then to just take care of yourself along the way. So, it's not becoming an all-consuming process. And that's also not going to help you in the process. If you're not, you know, one of the things that colleges look at is what activities are you in and how are your grades? And so if you're, you know, devoting all of your time to just the SAT or all of your time to writing the essays, then ultimately it's going to take a hit on other things that are just as important, not to mention your sanity and sense of well-being. Hmm.
So you graduated from high school in Sioux Falls. So yeah, you can probably put yourself back here in South Dakota and imagine how that national story played out in South Dakota. But you originally set your sights on Princeton and you ended up not getting in, but you ended up getting to Georgetown. So go back to your high school self and give her a piece of advice. What would you say about her aspirations at that time?
Yeah, I mean, so I don't think that I handled the admissions process perfectly, so to speak, but I think I actually did a really good job in terms of, you know, I took the actions that I knew to take when I knew to take them. So for example, when I actually was entering the process, I wasn't sure if I wanted to go for a BA, for a general liberal arts degree, or if I wanted to go for a BFA. So I kind of strategized what schools I applied to based on that level of uncertainty that I still had in October. But I wouldn't, that's not actually the thing that I would go back and change. I wouldn't say, hey, Erica, you're going to want to get a liberal arts degree, like scrap all of the BFA programs. What I would want for that 17-year-old version of myself is I want her meditating. I want her doing things so that she can manage the stress of the process. And obviously I'm saying that knowing that the process ended up working out well for me, but ultimately, I think that that's the thing that would have really not only improved how I was performing, but also how I was feeling along the way. That's the thing that I really wish that I could have given to myself back then.
So that gets at the idea, which has been really useful for us, and we just have about 30 seconds left, that this process is about more than getting a yes from a college. It's also about developing skills for the future. What can you say about that in a short snippet of time?
I mean, there's an idea that what is in one thing, any fragment of life is going to show up in everything. So project management, managing stress, performing under pressure, believing in yourself. I've said it before and I'll say it again. And calling on the support of people around you and resources that are available to you. There's so many resources that are out there that are accessible to families, from free resources to more investment in resources. And so taking advantage of all of the things that are available so that you can feel empowered within the process, I think is the biggest thing.
The book is called Acing It, A Mindful Guide to Maximum Results on Your College Admissions Test. If you follow Erica Oppenheimer online, you can also download test study guides that are sort of broken down into days and weeks and months. Erica, it's always a pleasure. Come back anytime. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Good luck, everyone.